The classic Noel Coward comedy, Blythe Spirit, is being produced at The Wrap through May 6th, directed by Maggie Mancinelli Cahill and featuring three of the region's best-known equity actresses, Yvonne Perry, Brandy Raybon, and Eileen Schuyler. Together on stage for the first time, we have two out of the three with us this morning. In the play, we meet cantankerous novelist Charles, remarried to Ruth, but haunted literally by the ghost of his late first wife, the clever and insistent Elvira, who has been conjured up by a visiting happy medium. If you don't understand it, you will. To tell us more, we welcome actors Yvonne Perry and Eileen Schuyler. Hello, both of you. It's lovely to have you back on the program.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
All right. So let us, before we talk about the show, let's talk about the three of you. It is surprising, I think, to think that you had probably worked together in different configurations, but never the three at the same time. Is that correct?
That is true.
That's
yes.
Right.
We work together all the time, but we have never, the three of us, been on stage together in
That's
the same
right.
show.
So, what is that why?
It's a delight. It's a delight on stage, and it's a delight off stage. I think it's sheer magic and so much fun to just be with people that you really love and support and respect and have fun with.
Yeah, it's always a puzzle when you're casting a show. I know from when I direct and when I'm in shows, you'd never know that first day of rehearsal. Is this chemistry going to work together to serve
right.
the piece? And, you know, I think that our director, Maggie Mancinelli Cahill, was really smart in thinking, wow, I've got these three actresses and I already know they have chemistry together. And so that can't help but translate to the stage. And I think it does.
So when it comes to the actual casting, was it just happenstance that the three of you got it? Or was it Maggie's, oh, it'd be great to have a project for the three of you together?
I can't speak for her. I'm not
okay.
sure which it was. But we're all very different. And I think we're all very suited to the individual roles that we're playing. So
yeah.
It may have been a combination of looking at this piece and saying, oh my goodness, I have these three actresses and each one plugs in correctly into these roles.
And we're certainly, Maggie's certainly familiar with our work. We've all been on the Caprep stage several times so
mm-hmm.
or more. So
right.
I think it was maybe just kismet that
yes.
we, yeah.
It was going to happen eventually. And
hopefully.
Why not happen in a Noel Coward play?
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Right.
Noel Coward.
Mm-hmm.
So you were talking both on stage and off, and I think that was interesting because when you think of just doing a project like this, because the show is so much fun, it just seems like that would be infectious.
It isn't always, but it certainly is in this case. You know, sometimes sometimes what happens behind the scenes is very different from what you see on the stage. But in this case, we're so rooting for each other and we're so listening on the wings and enjoying each other's, the nuances of each other's performances that it enhances the experience.
Of course, now all I want to ask about is the times where it doesn't, but I won't. I'll instead.
Oh, there are stories, Joe. That might be for an evening and not a morning conversation.
So you know,
but
that's
actors
all
are so
I care
calm.
About right
I don't
now. But it brings up a good point though, which is at what point? I think you mentioned it, Yvonne. You walk in and you just feel good right away. At what point do you start to feel comfortable with the people you're working with and say, "Oh, okay, this is going to be okay"?
Well, that's one of the joys of rehearsal. I'm one of those actors who happens to love the rehearsal process. We opened last night and I almost got a little sad because once a show opens, I love the discovery phase of this. I love the learning phase of this. And of course, learning the text is and learning the design choices for a show are always really intriguing to me. But part of that process is also learning about your colleagues and how you guys are going to work together on stage. And I've said this to Maggie, one of the joys of rehearsing this particular show has been that she has had faith in us as a cast from the very beginning. She always knew that her vision was going to be met by us. And so that was infectious. Just knowing that you had a director that had our back every moment along the way was just another delightful aspect of this particular show for me.
And when you're doing a comedy, if you know that there's a net under you, you
right.
can be more safe to play around, take a chance, go on a limb, do something unexpected, because you know that if it doesn't work, it'll be all right,
right,
because there's someone supporting you and each of us is supporting each other and Maggie's supporting us big time.
Right. So let's talk about that discovery process. So what is there here to discover? It seems like quite a lot.
Well, this is a play about magic. This is a play about the supernatural. It's a play about the other side, as Madame Arcadi says. And so when we have this first seance, there are seances and other kinds of magical moments in the play. When we have the first seance, we don't know what's going to emerge. She says that many things may happen. You may have an emanation, there may be ectoplasm, you might have a cold wind, there might be poltergeist. So nobody in the room knows. The guests at the first seance think this is a lark, and they're just trying to, the writer's trying to get tricks of the trade for his book. But the seance actually produces this ghost, and no one can see the ghost except for Charles himself. So it sets up a wonderful dynamic on the stage that people think he's fooling. They think he's just doing tricks. They think he's crazy. They think he's drunk because he's talking to somebody that isn't there.
Right.
And all of this is happens as a result of the comedic process.
Right. And, you know, for Elvira, she's the ghost, and she's the least interested in the spiritual or ghost-like world. She's actually just interested in her marriage. And so the flip side is that this is also a play about marriage and about harmony and or disharmony in marriage. And really, Coward is using his comedic chops to take a look at what happens in a marriage and how do I poke fun at that. And Coward was quoted several times about this play. It was one of his favorite plays, one of the plays he was most proud of writing. And that he wanted there to be disharmony because it couldn't be sad. What happens to these people, he did not want to be sad. You had to, in some ways, want them to get what's coming to them. And that's part of the delight. Yeah.
So tell us about your character. Tell us about Elvira.
Well, Elvira was the first wife. You know, Elvira's the young passion of his youth. Gary Lindemann, who's a wonderful Broadway actor, is up from New York to play Charles, which is a very difficult role. I mean, he's hardly ever off stage. And sort of the unknown in our group, not unknown to Capitol Rep audiences. He's been in several. He's been in Christmas Story, the musical, and he was in Mamma Mia last summer. But for us, I don't think any of us have ever worked with him before. And so it was, so Elvira's just that. She's that. She's the first one you fall head over heels in love with. Maybe not the most practical wife. And Brenny Rabin, who sadly couldn't be here this morning, she's so brilliantly portrays the second wife, you know, the practical wife, the one who gets the job done, the one who's a little more helpful, frankly, but maybe not as much fun.
Right. Yeah. So, but you put all together in stir, mix, and enjoy.
Sure.
And when it comes to Madame Arcadi, what is that like for you to play this?
Madame Arcadi is, to me, the most delicious character because she has such gusto. She loves everything about her life, the food she eats, the things she drinks, the bird song when she's riding her bicycle, which she does everywhere, the mist rising from the hills, the excitement of getting people together. She is a character that's full of joy and spirit. And she's a professional. She's been a professional since she was a child. Her mother was a medium before her, and she got in on the ground floor, she said. So the funny thing about Madame Arcadi, besides her eccentricities and her ability to make things happen, is that she is the one character who can't see the ghosts.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That's very funny. Being able to see somebody that's on the stage with you is a real acting challenge, and there's so much of that in this play. Someone is talking, and the other person can't hear them, and so they respond to the answer, and it's full of confusion like that. And Madame Arcadi never knows where they are. She looks around all the time and sees right through them and sees right past them.
I can look at everybody, but nobody can see me. So it's really kind of fun. And, you know, Brenny Rabin, who I happen to think is a comic genius, is so good at those moments of not knowing who the heck her husband's talking to. But I really believe you can't do this play without a good Madame Arcadi. It is the role that makes people famous in this play. And I do think, I'm not going to put words in Maggie's mouth, but if I were the director, I wouldn't do the show if I didn't know that I had a good Madame Arcadi. And having Eileen Schuyler available to play this role has been one of the best parts of this entire production.
Her head is in her hands.
Well, I mean that very sincerely. Yeah. It is a role that is difficult to really get right, the tone of it right, because she is such an English woman and she is so sincere in her kookiness. I mean, she can't just be kooky. She has to also be sincere, and it takes a great actress to do that, and I adore my Eileen Schuyler.
Well, years ago, when I saw it on Broadway, it was Angela Lansbury. My God. So when had you first seen the play? Do you remember when you first saw it, or who was in it, or who was playing the role?
I played the role of Elvira in 1971. That ages me. That was my first introduction to the play. I haven't seen any of the great icons in the role, and I decided right at the beginning I wasn't going to watch the film or allow myself to become intimidated by these other great people, because
she just didn't need to, Joe. She just didn't need to. She got
it. You just do it your own way. To me, she's a real English type. She's tweedy. She has her bicycle. I can see her with a flagged passage in her house with rubber boots leading out to the garden. And instead of growing flowers, she probably grows medicinal herbs and garlic, which she uses in the play. I can see her at the jumble sale and with the vicar. And just one of those English types. And she also has integrity, because when she has this seance and things go wrong, she can't sleep, she can't stop worrying, and she comes back to make it right. And that's extremely funny to the audience, because everything she does seems to fail. But she's determined. She can never forgive herself for having released something which now has to be
made
right.
Can't you tell, Joe? Can't you tell the enthusiasm with which she's approaching this role? I'm just trying to be as good as Eileen's 1971 version of Elvira. That's my personal goal.
Did you have a discussion as to what it was for the two of you to play that part?
Not specifically, no, but I tell you, you know, we are actors who all teach and direct also. Yeah. And so there are many, many an in-depth conversation goes on in the dressing room. We like to do it lightly, but we don't take it lightly.
That's right.
You said you opened last night. Well, did they all laugh in the right places?
Well, yeah, I think they enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think we had a great preview weekend. And I mean, there are so many moving parts in this show. And we had such an amazing, like a cracker design team. And so there are special effects and there are more lighting cues than in some musicals.
Right.
Certainly, I would say, in any memory that I've been, because I mostly do straight plays and comedies, more design cues. I mean, our stage manager's working really hard for this one. So there were a lot of balls in the air for us during previews. I mean, we needed those four shows to figure out where the audience was going to laugh. But amazingly, they went pretty well, too. The audience is, it's a hard play not to love. You go and you have a great time. I mean, you will go and enjoy yourself at this show.
And it's so beautiful. The set is beautiful in that English manner sort of way. And the clothes are funny and charming and
gorgeously designed.
Yes,
I think my Elvira costume is better than any in all of my research that I've seen.
Really?
Really, truly, it's better than even the Broadway Elvira's. I mean, my costume's delightful.
That's right.
I've only seen the stills, the pictures, but the set just looks beautiful. It looks stunning.
Yeah, and really the clothes. Special. Just, I think it's a treat to have a new scene and have an actress like gorgeous Brenny come out and something new that's just right for that moment.
And the audiences are, to my view, they're responding to that. I mean, you can come for a night in the theater and actually see some really dynamic live theater.
And hear some gorgeous language. Because Coward is all about the language. It's so silky. There's 100 ways. He never says the same thing twice. There's 100 ways.
I think he wrote this play with a thesaurus by his elbow. Because I call my husband, you know, so many names in this play and never the same one twice. I think I say beastly twice. But none of them are names I would use today either. They're all very long English old-fashioned names.
Well, what a wonderful production, and it sounds like you're all having a great time. It's Blythe Spirit at the Rep, Capital Repertory Company, through May 6th. You can find out more by going to capitalrep.org, capitalrep.org. Yvonne, Eileen, what a great pleasure to have you both here. Best of luck. Have a lovely, lovely rest of the run, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe, and I encourage the listeners, if they want to see, we were extended for a week, and the best seats are in that last week.
Oh, great. So is that still through the 6th, or is it a week?
Through May 6th, the whole first week of May. May. That's where the best seats are. So
excellent. It's capitalrep.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.